don't have to have anything in particular to praise him. And that's just it. Isn't that the way it goes? We say praise the Lord when something good happens. You can say praise the Lord just walking down the street. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We thank you for this time of fellowship and learning. Lord, I pray now that you use me, speak through my mouth, and use my mind in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you open every heart to anything that you would have them to have to say to them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we are in Genesis chapter 12. We've gotten into Abraham. Last week we spent some time, we looked at Nimrod, who wasn't necessarily the first king, but one of the first kings of the earth. And I haven't made it out there. I can't believe I haven't gone there yet. But the Crawford County, Crawford County Board of Tourism, is that right? Anyhow, they have found my pyramid in Crawford County. I was at the wrong graveyard. So, and if you weren't here and you don't understand what I'm talking about, in my study about the Tower of Babel, there have been debates. You know, a lot of time we see like 15th century artists, they paint it that looks like it's a big cylindrical object. It goes up. However, if you go back and you keep going back and you keep going back, you'll find that is not the typical architectural style. There is, however, one particular architectural style, and that is of the pyramid or the ziggurat. And the ziggurat is actually more like the Mayans, okay? The pyramids, the Egyptians got a little different on it, but underneath it is primarily the same thing. And upon looking these up and just seeing where they've been discovered in the world, as far as the ziggurat design, not necessarily just the pyramid, but the ziggurat design, I found there's a boatload of them in the Middle East. There's obviously in Mexico and some Central America. And there was one spot up by Lake Erie on the map. And I was like, wow. So I clicked on that and it said Galion, Ohio. I said, double wow, I can drive to that. And so I ran out real quick that afternoon, thought I'd found the cemetery where it was at. And trust me, it is not at the one I went to because you can see for a long way. And they told me where it was at, and I've got to go out and find it, and I'll get a picture of it, just saying. But I'm not going to tell you where it's at until I go there first. So, yep. I'm going to call Donna and tell her not to let anybody else know. No, it's just a cemetery out in the middle of nowhere. Used to be a church there, and it's not there anymore. But this design found its way from the Middle East. It has made it into Mexico, and it has made it as far north as Ohio, 15 miles from here. We're not talking about something that, he called up and said, hey, Bobby, why don't you go out and build a ziggurat? I'm over here in Iraq, and you're over there in Ohio, yeah, and you go build a ziggurat. These people, when God sent them all over the earth, they carried a lot of the same things. If you've done any study on history in general, I typically like history, especially when I'm trying to learn something about it. But if you're just trying to make me memorize mindless facts and stuff that doesn't mean a hill of beans to nobody, I could care less what a carpetbagger is. I know what they are, but I could really care less. When I got digging into, you'll get to digging into this stuff, you will see that there are similar flood stories, similar creation stories, even though these other religions, they twist it a little bit. Of course they're going to twist it. I mean, come on, if I'm going to decide I'm not going to worship God, but yet I want to tell the story so that I can now make my new God as the creator of the universe, I'm going to make it so that my new God is the one who did it. And that's simply what they've done. So you've got the flood, you've got all of this. A lot of this stuff has been recorded in many, many sources. So there's just a lot of neat things, and seeing is believing. I mean, we should believe without seeing as far as in Christ. A lot of men, I'll believe them when I see things. Let me put it that way. In God we trust, everybody else pays in cash. So there's a lot of things that are founded in, around the world, and they have a similar and a common thread. But we all look at it and say, oh, well, no, not. Yeah, seriously, this all came through one line, and it all happened after the Tower of Babel. Well, I don't know how they got it. Listen, we keep forgetting the earth, even today, is not as it was 200 years ago. So why are we concerned? We know that the Bering Straits, there was a land bridge from Russia to what is now Alaska. You could walk across that not too long ago. So there were many places where they could walk across. Antarctica, they're digging down now into Antarctica through all those, I don't know how many, probably hundreds of feet of ice, and they're bringing up exotic vegetation frozen in the ice. Antarctica used to be somewhere warm, but it's not now. So the facts are here, and so we're learning so many, I think, some pretty cool things. So now we are in Genesis chapter 12, and we're picking up on Abram. Now, here was a little something that I was sitting down looking at my timeline, and I'm like, I started getting discouraged. I was like, okay, this is not adding up. It says here that Abraham went to Haran, and his father died, Terah died in Haran, and then Abraham left. Or does the Bible say that? I'm not asking you to question the Bible. I'm asking you to question the way we've been supposedly interpreting it. Because I'm going to go up above, and I'm going to read verse 31 of chapter 11. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. We instantly think, because chapter 12 starts off God telling Abraham to get out of Haran, right? Let me read this, actually. This helps make my point. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. I want to stop. Whose house? So if his father's dead, how does his father have a house? His father was still alive when he told him to leave. You understanding? Because I was sitting there looking, I was like, okay, this is an idiot-proof timeline. 16th of an inch equals 10 years, and I'm off that much. That much, okay? He was 205. Abraham was only about 75. And he was only 70 when Abraham was born, so it puts him at 145 years. He had a long life after this. So I've been taught, I don't know about you, and this is just, I mean, it was just a slap in the face. So I'm like, that's why I'm driving myself nuts. I'm trying to make the Bible say something that it doesn't say. I'm trying to make it say that Terah died and then Abraham left. But it does not say that. It just ends in chapter 11 that Terah died. Why? Because we don't want to follow Terah anymore. The first thing you got to understand is Terah was not a godly man. He worshiped idols. And so Moses did not want to follow that lineage. He was not concerned about that. He was concerned about Abraham. He wanted to go down through here. So now we're into chapter 12 and verse 1, and I'll pick up. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show to you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. Now, I want y'all to know we just found the first rednecks. They gave identification of a location by a tree. The terebinth tree at Moreh. Really? There's only one terebinth tree in the entire region? So I think we've found where rednecks get it from. And the Canaanites were in the land, were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now, Shechem is actually just above Hebron, close to the city Ai. If you remember anything about Ai, that is the second city that Joshua and the Israelites tried to conquer. And I say try, and if you know, we'll get to the story. It was the second city they took, but because Achan had stolen some garments from the first city, they got their butts kicked at the second city, which was the city of Ai. So Shechem is actually, if you understand what we're going here, Shechem is in the gateway that God brought the children of Israel back into the land to possess it. You following me? It didn't say he was right in Shechem. He was out by a terebinth tree somewhere. That's all we know. And you'll read on here, he really liked that terebinth tree. He was always sitting under it. So when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, I always learned, I said, Lord, why on earth did you take them to the other side of the river for? You didn't need to take them that way. And I understood why he took them to meet him in the mountain, on the mountain. I mean, it was a 3 days journey from Egypt to Canaan. There's a road there. There's a highway. Why didn't you just bring them back up and send them that way instead of sending them out around back through what is now modern day Jordan and then across the river? Because God brought them through the place where he had made the covenant with Abraham and said, now you look around, this is yours. This was the place where God had brought him through. Abraham very well could have seen the very crossing place from where he would have been. Okay? So, I mean, so many neat little things in the Bible, if you look at them, especially if you look at maps and start, okay, God, why did you have it mentioned where this place was at? Why? There's a reason why he did everything. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now, there's a reason he was heading south. There was a famine in the land. If you know anything, particularly in those days, a famine was considered to be God trying to get people's attention. And they didn't get it. And so, unfortunately, people starved. And this was only in the land of Canaan. I don't know why Egypt didn't suffer the same things, but Canaan seemed to be the land that suffered the worst. So, in verse 10, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. She's 65. And he looks at her and he says, you are still a smoking hot mama. And so when we get into town here, don't tell anybody I'm your husband. They'll kill me. Tell them you're my sister, which was not too far from the truth. In a kind of a technical way, she was, just not full-blooded. So they won't have no six-legged, you know, eight-legged freaks or anything like that. So, yeah. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Is any women seeing a pattern here with him? I'm concerned about me, man. They're going to kill me and let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake. Again, me, 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 me. And that I may live because of you. So it was, now listen. We get hard on ourselves. We beat ourselves up because I had just this moment of weakness and I didn't believe what God had said. You know, today I let Jesse go to the state lake by himself for the first time. I said, okay, we're gonna do this. I'm gonna drop you off, I'm gonna come over to the church for a little bit and then I'll come back. And I get there to the lake. And, you know, from up the dam, you can pretty much see most of it. And I'm like, okay, I don't see no little boy standing over there fishing. So where is he? So I go over where he's supposed to be, and I'm walking. And finally, a guy, I'm on his cell phone. I said, where are you at? And he says, well, I'm in the creek. Come on back this way. And as I'm walking, I put my phone into my pocket, and I hear the Lord say, I told you to turn left. I said, yes, you did, Lord. I'm sorry. See, I didn't beat myself up for that one. No, he's not. Surely my son knows that I said stay at the lake. Well, I mean, it's all the same water technically, so he considered it. And he said the fish were, by the way, I got a picture of two huge bass this big caught today down there out of an area no bigger than this down in the bottom of the spillway. Huge. Has nothing to do with the message, but, huh? The one got on a white spinnerbait. And the other one, sounds like you might have snagged it, but they were huge. I'm like, I took a picture. I said, I've got to take a picture. There are fish in this that are big. So how they got over there, we don't know. No. No, and this kid's probably about 14. So Abraham had a moment where he didn't think about the promise God had made him. I'm going to bless the world through you. Abraham still does not have any children at this point. How is God going to bless the world through him and have descendants? I have no offspring running around. Therefore, I cannot have descendants. He forgot about that. He got to look at his wife and say, hey, you're pretty hot. And these dudes might kill me. I don't know them. And they don't know me. So he had this moment and said, please tell him you're my sister. I mean, that's a little less, I don't know, maybe back in that day it was a little less of an offense to be running around with your sister like that. But anyhow, don't beat yourself up just because you forgot and you had one moment of doubt. Okay? God's got a bigger picture for your life. I'm going to try anytime I can throw in something for you, that's what I'm going to do. God's got a bigger picture for your life. Just because you took a left instead of a right does not mean that his call for your life is done and over. Okay? Because it was not for Abraham. I don't want to get into Sunday's message, but I want to tell you this. God did not hold this against him. Okay? Keep that in mind. God never held this against him, even though he did it twice. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. Just for her sake, he was made a wealthy man. That's how beautiful she was. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Now, this is that's what I'm looking for. An interesting predicament that Pharaoh has gotten himself into. he's taken another man's wife, and God's plaguing him. Now, I want to read to you what something in the book of Jasher says about this particular thing. And the king approached to speak to Sarai, and he reached out his hand to touch her, when the angel smote him heavily, and he was terrified, and he refrained from reaching her. She had prayed and asked God, when she figured out what they were, what Pharaoh had in mind, she's like, God, get me out of this. And God sent an angel who appeared to her and said, the Lord has heard you. And so when, and it doesn't say he was reaching out to touch her sexually or anything, he was just reaching out to touch her, which was a no-no. And it said that the angel smote him. Now, I don't know, I'm just going to guess that it was just a really hard hit. Okay, and here's why. And when the king came near to Sarai, the angel smote him to the ground. This time he knocked him down just for coming near her. And acted thus to him the whole night. And the king was terrified. And the angel on that night smote heavily all the servants of the king and his whole household on account of Sarai. On account of one woman, the whole house pays. As they say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And there was a great lamentation that night amongst the people of Pharaoh's house. And Pharaoh, seeing the evil that befell him, said, surely on account of this woman has this thing happened to me. And he removed himself at some distance from her and spoke pleasing words to her. Okay, every time I get within 20 feet of this woman, something knocks me down. And my servants can't even go near her. Now, you know what insolence will do? Insolence and pride will say, what is your dadgum problem, woman? We just start blaming it on them. And we try to figure out it's their fault. Not realizing that, okay, maybe there's a reason why I can't get near. That it isn't her fault, that maybe it's my fault. And maybe I've done something that is preventing this from happening. Now, Pharaoh begged her, said, please tell me why this keeps happening to me. She said, the man you took me from is actually my husband. So they called for Abraham. Let me get back in. And Pharaoh called Abram, verse 18, and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Now, there's a whole lot that happened there in that he commanded his men concerning Abram. He sent an entourage with Abram for protection and to carry all the things that they had given to Abram and Sarai from this point on. They did not send Abram out or Abraham back out into a famine without food. They sent him out blessed. Okay? Even in Abraham's, we'll call it stupidity, for lack of a better word. I don't mean to offend you, Abraham, if you can hear me. But in his moment of not realizing that God had a plan for him, God still blessed him. Do you understand? He got male donkeys. He got male servants, female donkeys, camels. He got everything everybody wished for. Just so Pharaoh could look at his wife from the other side of the room. Because if he got 20 feet, the angel was going to knock him out. And this is not where that stopped. Pharaoh wanted to make sure that things were hunky-dory between him and Abram and Sarai. Okay? So it says, and the king took a maiden, this is out of Jasher, took a maiden whom he begat by his concubines, and he gave her to Sarai for a handmaid. Anybody want to guess her name? Yeah, that's right. The mother of Ishmael. She was actually the daughter of a Pharaoh by a concubine, so she had no rights to a throne or any royalty. But she would have been well taken care of. She would have known how to present herself, how to act, and she would not have just been a dirty scullery maid. Okay? She would have been a prize for anybody to have. Okay? And Pharaoh told her, he said, "It is better for thee, my daughter, to be a handmaid in this man's house than to be a mistress in my house after we have beheld the evil that befell us on account of this woman." He's saying it's better off for you to be there with her because of what happened than it is here in my house where I can protect you, because I couldn't stop whatever it was that did this. Okay? By the way, a little interesting thing I read about Pharaoh in Jasher, the previous chapter in this one, is that there's a whole story goes along with it. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but a real wise man, he was good looking, he was smart, but he was down on his luck. Ended up in Egypt, kept getting beat up, getting all his food taken from him, and he tried, could not figure out how to make money so that he could survive. So he went to the sepulcher, or to the graveyard. He hired some thugs, went to the graveyard, sat at the gate of the graveyard, and he said, "You tell them the king says such, $200, 200 pieces of silver to bury your dead." They don't bury their dead unless they give up the gold or silver. And so when the Pharaoh, or the king, they didn't call him Pharaoh at this point, when the king heard about it, he only came out once a year to judge. When he came out, the people would say, "Hey, dude, while you've been in your house, this guy has set up at the cemetery on your behalf, charging us to bury our dead. You tax us while they're alive, and now you tax us while we're dead." So he gets the guy, and he comes before Pharaoh. You know, he gets out, he hires children to dress up and come in, and they bring a big entourage. And he was impressed. And so he said, "I will call you Pharaoh, because you have taxed the dead." I find that kind of interesting. I don't know if you understand the whole concept of the Pharaoh worship, but it's all about the dead. They're not gods while they're alive. I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing. He got his name because he figured out a way to tax the dead. Are there any taxes in this country yet? I know they've got all kinds of inheritance taxes, and that might as well be a tax on the dead. Yeah. So Abraham, he's asked to leave the country, but he's got lots of food and provisions. He's not gonna starve by any means. It says in chapter 13, "Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning." He went right back to where God had spoken to him last. "To the place of the altar which he had made there first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents." Now I want you to know something. It just described the man who was associated, who was just a traveling partner. He wasn't even supposed to be there. It said he had flocks and he had herds and he had servants. Lot was blessed because of Abraham. Okay? This, in my opinion, is a very definite black and white type and shadow of how people should be with Christians. They should be blessed. That's why I pray the blessing over your... I don't care that they don't serve God yet. That's not the point. Okay? They're associated with you. The blessing goes with you. You have the blessing of Abraham on your life. And God can move through. Now, I just read an article today, and I don't even know if I could even pronounce the word properly, so I won't even do it. But they say the last time that we're entering into this new stage in the economy where unemployment is up, growth is down, inflation is up, okay? And they said the last time we did this was in the 70s. So in order to combat it, the Feds lowered interest rates. Is there anybody see a small problem? We're already historically lower than we've ever been on those rates. We can't go any lower. By the way, I've heard one economist say, lowering them like that is what threw us into this. Because people started spending money left and right they didn't have, and then it ran out. But anyhow, they're talking about this whole deal that we're going to head into, and we don't know what's going to happen. I do. It's called the blessing of Abraham, and it has come upon the Gentiles. Wherever we go, that's where the party's at. Okay? Wherever the people of God go, that's where the blessing is going to be. The blessing will follow us. People associated, regardless of whether or not they're serving God, are going to be blessed. But they're going to know why they're blessed. Even Pharaoh was able to understand, I don't touch this man. Even my own daughter would be better off with him than with me. Because whatever that was that stopped me, he recognized there's a force with Abram. There is something about this man that cannot be touched. Okay? Verse 6. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. How many donkeys and cattle and sheep and camels and people do you have that two farmers can't handle it? We're not talking about Morrow County-sized area. More like Central Ohio-sized. Now, granted, there were indigenous people that were there before them that they had to contend with as well, but this is still only two families. And they had so much blessing in their life, the land could not handle it. Basically, what was happening is Lot just was not, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Lot actually served God, okay? I have not found anywhere where it says he worshiped God. Because to be honest with you, if he worshiped God, he would have never offered up his daughters to that rapist crowd, okay? I don't believe he offered or that he served God. I believe the only reason those angels were there was because of the man praying 50 miles away who was on his knees. Lord, for the sake of 20. Okay, now lest you really get mad, how about 10? And I've pointed out before, he took it to 10 because there should have been 10 in Lot's household. But Lot was not serving God. Lot had fallen into, even though there were some things that said that when he first got there, he started talking about right and wrong. And obviously, he still had a good moral compass on what was, some things were right, except I still would never have offered up my daughter. But he was protecting the stranger. And don't think that that is not important, because how many times in your Bible does God say, do not afflict the stranger. Okay? Verse 7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. You got a four-way battle going on here. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and yours, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord. And mine says in parentheses, before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Before Because you got to understand where Sodom and Gomorrah were supposed to have been. It's under salt water now that nothing can live in. Then Lot chose, in verse 11, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. You got to picture what they're looking at. They're probably standing up on a really tall hill looking. He says, if you go that way, I'm going this way. Although technically, if you read this and understand it, Abraham didn't go anywhere. He stayed in Shechem for a long time. This was pretty much where he was at. Okay, he dwelt there. This is where he dwelt when Lot was taken captivity. This is where he dwelt when God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. This is Lot or Abraham did not move. He just said, you go. But when Lot stood up there and he looked out, and he's like, okay, looking a little peeked over there. But boy, look over there at that valley, that plain. The water runs right through there. And it's green, it's lush, and there's plenty of grass and grazing. And so he chose the best land for himself. That wasn't a problem with God. Wasn't a problem with Abram. Abram just wanted... Abram's like, what was the old comedian? We heard him one time. He was Nashville. Jerry Clower. He said... I don't remember who the story was about. Somebody got up in a tree with a wildcat. And them and the wildcats are shooting. And he's yelling down, shoot him, shoot him. He says, no, I might hit you. Just shoot. One of us needs some relief. And that's the way it was. Abram's just like, get out of here. We need some relief. And so God still blessed Abram. In spite of all this that took place, God continued to bless him. Now, Lot continued to be blessed as well for a while. He still had money. He still had servants. He still had a lot of things. He had daughters. We know of at least two. Actually, I know because of Jasher, I know that there was actually, I think, two more. So he should have had, and he had a wife. There should have been plenty. But what happened? This is why I tell you, do not get comfortable with sin. Grace is one thing. When you are so comfortable in sin, it will suck you in. Okay? You can have victory over something, but hey, I'm going to hang out here. I'm going to just start doing this again. Is that your Achilles heel? If that's your Achilles heel, run. Get away fast. Okay? Lot obviously liked the nicer things. He liked the nicer places. Of course he's going to hang out with Abram. Abram seems to walk right in. I mean, he's the Midas. He's got the Midas touch. Everything he touches turns to gold. It's prosperous. Except that the land, the closest city to him that he chose to dwell in was not such a good place. It was very prosperous. But even at this point, in chapter 13, verse 30, he says, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Exceedingly. When you exceed somebody's expectations, that means you went above and beyond anything they could ever think. These people. Now, just so you know, there was Sodom, Gomorrah. They were two main cities. And I believe there were five satellite villages. Okay, and satellite villages are just suburbs. People want to get a little, oh, it doesn't mention him in the Bible. Okay, come on, let's go to Columbus. Do you ever mention Dublin? When you're in Columbus, when I say let's go to Columbus and go to Sawmill Road, does anybody correct me and say let's go to Dublin? Probably not. Why? Because Columbus is what you think of. And that's all that these were. They were just suburbs. So they go over there and they immerse themselves in a sinful life. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. From this point, if Abram is looking north, Lot went east. Okay? That's about where he was. He went east from where Abram was at. Didn't God say, I'm going to give the eastward to you too? His nephew just took it. And God said, I want you to look up. It's all yours. It didn't matter that Lot took it. It's yours. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. A little further, let's see, Shechem was a little bit, I think he went south, southwest, if I'm remembering the map right. I don't have this map, and I did download the other timeline and stuff today and ordered the other stuff, but I don't need it right now. So, we've just seen Lot has separated. When we come back, the next time, we're going to look at Lot being taken, Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed, things that were going on around that time, where they may possibly be. Many people, and I believe they may even have some picture proof, and if I'm pretty sure that the site that I utilize does have it, is they have ruins in the bottom of the Dead Sea, the very far south end, where they believe Sodom and Gomorrah were. So, and I want you guys got to understand, when God did that, there was never to be life in that region again. Even to this day, there is nothing. It is rocks. I mean, I don't even think a lizard would like to live there. There's nothing there. I don't even think dust bunnies could survive there. What God did in Abram's life was take a man, protected him, looked out for him, blessed him, made a covenant with him. And this is a man who came from a father who worshiped idols. Now, he may have been a little higher on the totem pole as far as hierarchy there, but that made his sins even worse. They were more out there in everybody's face. And by the way, Haran, if you've not known Ur, they believe to be in southern Iraq. And Haran is believed to be up in the northern part of Iraq, close to the Euphrates River. And God, so they went from here to here to here, is what God brought him back to. So that whole area used to be full of life. Vegetation, water, the Dead Sea. I don't even think the Dead Sea is all that old. As a matter of fact, I believe I read or was watching something that said it's now drying up. The water level is so far down that, I mean, it's just drying up. Now, I better just shut up. Oh, praise God. Is God good? All the time. He's good when Pharaoh takes your wife. He's good when your nephew takes the best land. He's good all the time. He's got his plan. It doesn't matter what we end up doing, what we think, oh yeah, this is what I'm going to do. The Apostle Paul said it best. We'd be better off, and I'm going to paraphrase him. He said, we'd be better off to say, if the Lord is willing, next year I will be here doing such and such. Because I don't know God's plan. I know a lot of people say, oh, you, and listen, you're not going to know every little detail. I know God's plan for my life now. At 18, I couldn't have told you God's plan for my life. Matter of fact, at 19, I didn't care. 18, I did. 19, I didn't. I had a year to get cynical. But by the time I was 31, I knew what God's plan in my life was going to be. And can I tell you every little detail that's going to happen? No. Heavens, no. I couldn't tell you my paths were going to cross with a Nigerian pastor. Never. I never would have told you that. Matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, I couldn't have told you that. I didn't even know he was in the country. Yeah, didn't know. Yeah, they'd have never known they were going to Cambodia. Just would have never known all this stuff. And every little detail matters. Every little thing that has happened in our lives, just like Abram's, matters. Yeah, you may have ended up going, you may have ran to Egypt thinking, okay, I'm going to stay safe. First off, I don't see where God's sending to Egypt, but because if I remember, I think he told Isaac not to go to Egypt. That's where Isaac was headed, was to Egypt. So Isaac went to what would later be one of Israel's biggest enemies, literally, the Philistines. So, shut up, Bart. Stand. If you want to leave, you better stand quickly. See, Bobby was the first one up. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise your name, Lord God, that because of Abraham, because you made a covenant with him that we could be blessed, Father. We are blessed primarily and first and foremost because Jesus Christ came through that line. He came into the world. He died. He was resurrected. And he now sits with you on the throne. We were blessed because of that. But Father, I thank you that we are also blessed going in, blessed going out. We have the very blessing that affected Abraham in our lives today. Father, give us the wisdom in operating it. Give us the courage to stand and do your word. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. I pray that you cause that blessing to move in their life. Cause it to overtake them. Cause it to chase them down and give them the wisdom to quit running from it. Hallelujah. Right now, in Jesus' name, be blessed, be healed, and be victorious. Amen. And you're dismissed.